friends. We're between games here at the game table, and before we get into the next one, it's discussion time. This is Table Topics, where we read stories from Reddit having to do with situations in the tabletop world. We will react, discuss, and give our opinions on the chosen topics for you to enjoy and possibly take back to your gaming table. I'm your host, Kaylee, and my guest today is Nate.
What's up, fellas?
Today's topic is the love of the game. So, let's get into it.
See, fellas is universal because it has an A at the end. It would be fellows if it was a...
So you're using the rules of romance language.
Correct.
To declare that...
When you put an A at the end, it's universal to any gender.
Well, today's episode is being recorded for release the day after our anniversary.
Ooh.
So I wanted to cover some like purely positive stories and stories about love and stories about people meeting through games or just like having that as a love language, because I think it is for a lot of couples and a lot of people in the hobby. Gaming together is one of their activities that they do for quality time, and I just wanted to pay homage to that.
Does that mean you have something to tell me?
I'm in love with you.
What? You have a crush on me?
Yeah, I did.
Okay.
No, but it is something that we do together. Mm-hmm. I mean, not no, yes. Yes, I do. But it is something we do together. And we do with friends and all these other things. I have some stories from us gaming together that I think would fit in this theme. But do you have anything that you want to share?
I haven't heard any stories. I don't know what the theme is necessarily.
Okay. All right. So I'll share one of mine, which is the first weekend that I was coming to meet your family. Was early in Jared and Anna's introduction to gaming and when they were acquiring variety board games. And we went over to their house for dinner. So it was me and you, your two parents, and Jared and Anna, who were the only other married siblings at the time. And they brought out a game called Citadels, and we were playing it. And Citadels is card drafting. So it goes around, it starts on one player and it like goes around the table. And I'm hoping you remember this as I'm telling it. But I was at the very end. I was like the last person to get the cards. Mm-hmm. And I noticed early in the game, without being an avid board gamer and without having a lot of experience, I noticed early in the game, no one was going like the merchant route. And it's been so long since I've played it, I can't get into the nitty gritty, but I remember they were green and I remember it was merchants. And so they were always coming to me.
Mm.
And like you guys were competing for some of the other routes. And so I was just getting the dregs, but it happened to be this like same class every time. So I went like this one sort of victory path that had to do with that. And you figured out at least halfway through the game what was happening, because you were the person sitting right next to me who was passing to me, and you figured it out, but you were like, whatever. And you weren't willing to like sabotage your own track to sabotage me and prevent me from getting these things that I was getting, because I started to do really well. And I'm a sneaky gamer, like I'm very quiet, so I'll sit back. If I'm winning, you won't hear anything. I'll be quiet little mouse. And so Jared, I think, was the second one to notice. And he notices like 2/3 of the way through the game. And he's like, whoa, wait a second. and immediately calls it out and is immediately like, wait, stop. No, we have to stop her. But no one was kind of willing to, again, it was too late for anyone to change their own strategy to sabotage me. And so then Jared found out that you knew and he was like, my guy, why are you letting this happen? And you're like, she's my girlfriend.
Right.
I think that was your take. Do you remember this?
Yeah, I remember that. I learned pretty quickly that I was not going to be winning. And so I chose to be a spoiler on that game. And when I realized you had a chance of winning, I was like, well, heck, I'll keep passing her the card she needs.
Well, I appreciated it because I think it endeared me to Anna and Jared very quickly because they were like, who is this new person that just came in and wiped this game? And this was, I don't know, 10 years ago. Mm. This was a long time ago. But I still remember that fondly in my mind. So maybe I should write it up for Reddit someday.
Yeah.
Okay, well, let's look at our first story. So this first story comes from r/boardgames. From beginning fan 7929. And the title is Wife Surprised Me. Board game story. My wife did something special for my birthday that I was not expecting. While I am an avid lover of board games, I realize she does not enjoy them as much as I do. She certainly isn't trying to solo any games on our shelf. We will play games together on occasion, but it's not something that she generally wants to do unless I ask. For my birthday this year, she put up a post on social media and blocked me from seeing it. She posted a picture of my Calyx shelf and asked her friends if there are any couples that would like to join us for game nights. She must have had 20 plus replies from her friends, ranging from praising my collection to asking when we can get together. She hosted our first official game night that was not family a few days later. We had a great time and are already planning on the next night we can get together. We are now trying to find time to host several of the other couples as well. I just want to say that this gift meant more to me than I will ever be able to convey. I have never wanted to force gaming onto my wife, as I respect that we all enjoy different things, and just because I love something, that doesn't mean she has to love it too. That being said, the fact she gifted me with a special book and gifted me her time and attention to play and learn new games means the world to me. We're all kids at heart, and at the end of the day, I just want to spend time with my wife doing things that bring us joy. She knows this and took the extra effort this year to accommodate a passion of mine and to nurture the relationships we cherish. I think this is ultimately why I love board games so much. People bond over games where cardboard and plastic pieces reign supreme. We spend time laughing, thinking, strategizing, and problem solving. We make lifelong memories playing the games that we love. As juvenile as it can sound to someone who doesn't play board games or understand my love for them, I think the core of the hobby is rooted in community and love, which are the furthest things from immaturity and wasting time. I compare a good board game to reading a good book. My mind is engaged, imaginative, and completely lost in the moment. I share this story in hopes that someone reading this can find the joy in their hearts and share it with others, especially if you have a partner that loves games. Spend the time learning a new game with them, play the game, invite friends and family over, eat some good food, and make memories together. Life is too short to not play another game of Twilight Imperium.
No. No, that's good. That's good. It's always good to see couples come together and do something together. And that sometimes, hey, I'm doing you a favor by doing something that I don't like. But it's even better when you can find some enjoyment in it for yourself as well. Like, I have a couple friends that he really likes gaming and she not so much, but she loves hosting.
Mm-hmm.
And so hosting like full on game nights is great for her. You know?
Yeah, and I think that's a potentially something that could be making this a clutch move for the wife in this story, mm-hmm. is that maybe, you know, she realized like, oh, I want to spend more time with friends. I want to host more or something like that. And she chose to incorporate that wish with something that would really mean a lot to her husband. Because yeah. if you are just someone who loves having people over, who loves making big dinners, something like that, this is the perfect
right.
solution to that as right. well. So it's just, mm-hmm. it's really sweet. And I like that he takes the time to like note something that comes up a lot on this podcast, which is people feeling like they have to justify their appreciation for the hobby.
Mm-hmm.
Because in the same way that video games have a bad rap for being like an immature hobby, so do board games. Sometimes. I don't think it's as bad. So there's all these people that write these stories and they're like, my friends and I are kind of nerdy, so we play Scrabble. Or I'm kind of weird, so I play Catan. And you're like, no. No, you're not weird. And so his lines here about like how it is a function that nurtures relationships mm-hmm. and time together. And that is just a really good nod.
Yeah. Yeah. Good stories.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's always great to learn which friends of yours enjoys certain kinds of board games, and you can kind of cater to different groups depending on if people really want another round of Twilight Imperium or if they'd rather play apples to apples.
Yeah. Yeah. No, Twilight Imperium, if you've got friends that are committing to that with you, that's awesome. So you've got people that are committing to these like very long, intense games mm-hmm. as well as probably your short sort of party games where you can have more people. It's just a cute little story.
Just a cute little story. It's a cute little guy.
Oh gosh. First comment is out of line here. And for some reason they have the title of Eldritch Horror. Mm. They've won that award somehow. So I think I know how. Top comment. Wow, that's so thoughtful. Is your wife single by any chance?
Sigh.
Oh boy.
Hey internet, just because somebody has something that's nice doesn't mean you have to have it too. You can go find your own.
Good point. Message to the internet.
I'm sure the internet will listen.
Yeah, definitely. This next comment comes from Existential Feckery. I love it. When my husband and I were dating, 2 months in, it was his 40th. I organized a surprise birthday with his board game buddies, not knowing he hated his birthday and surprises. He covered his stressed shock very well and recovered quickly, and we had an awesome night playing board games and eating the portal cake replica I made. He confessed a year later about his birthday hate, but that it was the sweetest thing anyone had done for him. We're 12 years in and play board games every few days still. There's something really neat when you can have fun playing games together. And OP responds and they say, I can only imagine how much that gesture meant to him so soon into your relationship. Showing him the kind of caring and thoughtful person that you are. I agree with you on the last sentiment. Playing games with my wife is my perfect date night, and I am grateful she has embraced this part of me.
Yeah. Good comment. Commenter. Are you single?
This is why I give you the episodes with the wild stories. Because I'm having to rein you in, even on the precious ones.
It was just an innocent question.
Yeah, sure. This next one. This is such a happy story to start my day. Extra victory points to your wife for the thoughtful gift. Digital hugs to you both. My mom and I love board games, but they're not really my stepdad Steve's jam. He'd rather be watching sports or working on a project on the house. Also, he's dyslexic, so cards with tiny print suck for him. But Steve knows how much they mean to us, so he'll join in for like one a month. Of an easier game he actually enjoys, like Machikoro, Azul Pavilion, Point City, or Acquire. And he's always down to play Texas Hold'em. I always thought it was sweet of him to humor us, and although he doesn't play often, he has great stats in my book on wins over the last 2 years.
Way to go, stepdad Steve.
Go, Steve. OP responds to them as well and says, sounds like Steve is a good dude. It's always the ones who don't play many games that end up being really good at them. Okay, lots of people are posting their own little love stories in the comments, and it's very cute. This one is from Loopy Wolf. Here's my story. It's a story of epic gift giving and gaslighting. Sounds right.
Hmm.
Last Christmas, my wife and I were at the game store, and she asked me, I'm looking to give a game to my cousin Andrew because he's interested in board games. We looked them over, and I helped her pick out Casting Shadows. I liked the art, and it looked to be simple, like Here to Slay, so we picked that. Later, at home, I was wrapping presents, and I asked the wife, want me to wrap your cousin's present? She said, sure, if you want to. Christmas morning, after we unwrapped everything, she took the present and handed it to me. Here you go. I don't have a cousin, Andrew. I was delighted, of course. Additional, a week or two later, I said, wait, did I wrap my own present? She said, yeah.
Yep.
Also, in fairness to your good lady wife, I wouldn't be trying to solo any board games on your shelf, and I have 300 or more. You have a perfect wife. I mean, what's wrong with soloing?
Yeah, it depends on the game.
Well, okay.
The context there is my dad used to solo Pandemic, playing like all six hands.
I can see that. So, precious, precious little story of love.
Aww.
Mm-hmm.
Cute. I like that he got snaked into wrapping his own present.
Yeah. Actually, you know what? That's playing a whole nother game in the acquiring of a game. Just like, oh yeah, I gotta pick something out for my cousin and you should wrap it.
Yeah, do you have any good ideas for games?
I love that. I love game within a game story.
He got played.
There you go. Okay. This next one comes from a subreddit that amuses me more often than not, which is r/Catan. We've found regular stories. We found a call for help. Is my girlfriend cheating on me? Here. But today it's a positive story.
Okay.
And this is more general love. Love of the game. Love of life. Love of your children. So this comes from WhimsyWarrior21. Playing Catan made me a happier stay-at-home mom. I'm a stay-at-home mom with a 2-year-old and a 4-year-old. I've been feeling really bummed out from sleep deprivation and mental and physical exhaustion of mom duties. It was starting to affect my mental health. I, a former Catan enthusiast, saw my husband playing it one time on the computer. Long story short, I ended up downloading it on my phone, even though I didn't know if I'd have the time to play it. I found that I did. At least once a day, when I want to take a break, I sit down and play a game of Catan. I get really competitive and even win. But that's not the point. The surprising part is since I started doing this, I felt mentally ready to delve back into being a mom or doing the domestic stuff again. I swear it has made me happier. Like I'm able to escape into another realm for 15 or 20 minutes and be this Catan warrior and compete and actually win sometimes. Anyway, out of all the possible solutions I presented to myself for feeling burned out, I never expected a phone game was all I needed. Can anyone else relate to this? I think you can relate to this.
Yeah. You know, phone games are good, are good stress releases sometimes when you've got just a little second. I play chess on occasion. I used to play like puzzle games.
Mm-hmm.
You're right. It's cool. It's a great way to kind of de-stress your mind for a second. Just put whatever you're thinking about on pause until you come back in a minute and do it, you know? I will say, I've never played Phone Catan.
Mm-hmm.
15 minutes is way shorter than other games of Catan, than the board game of Catan. So I'm a little bit out of my context here.
Yeah, it's interesting because being joined to r/Catan, people do submit digital images of their games mm-hmm. all the time. And I think because it's everyone's comfortable with it, it goes faster. And then I think a lot of the digital board games, you can like, well, you can do this in your chess games too, I think. But you can program your moves ahead of time.
Mm.
And so sometimes it'll like go really fast if you already know what you want to do like next turn and you program
Interesting.
It. I'll add one more thing. I think this is true of you with chess, and this is true of me with like Sudoku, which is what I do on my phone. A lot of times, like scrolling on your phone can feel like brain rot or can mm-hmm. feel like kind of nothing. So doing something that actually engages your brain as that time on your phone, I think actually can be a happier de-stressor for a lot of people, because you actually don't feel lazy or like you're not doing anything. Like you are engaged, you are doing something. So I think that's maybe something that helps, like instead of her just being on Facebook, being on something where you're...
where your mind's engaged, but in a different way. Yeah. Yeah.
You're being competitive and fun and up instead of fully down.
Yeah. No, that makes sense. Plus, as your kids get older, they're going to ask you about it, and then you can teach them Catan.
Yeah. And then you can play Catan with them. So top comment comes from Arcane Pizar. I suspect this post might get more traction in some of the parenting subs, but yes, I think what you're talking about is real and important. Far too many things glorify the idea of parents sacrificing all their free time and all their hobbies for the sake of their children, and it's just such BS. Like, people need to dedicate a bit of time to themselves, so if you love Catan or other board games, it's good that you're taking the time to enjoy a game online. Sincerely, a parent who does a lot of stuff with my kids, but sometimes I just make them entertain themselves in the living room with toys for a while I zone out on my computer for 20 minutes. They're learning the valuable skill of entertaining themselves. I'm taking a little bit to myself to sit on my butt and not have to deal with anything.
Mm-hmm.
It's a win-win. Also, if you ever get bored of Catan, there are other websites that have plenty of other board games too. Just saying.
Yeah. Online poker. No, I'm kidding. Don't do that one.
It's back at it again.
No, I think that's a good comment. It's, you know, my mom, when we were kids, she had a dedicated, I don't actually remember if it was every day or if it was like a few times a week or whatever, but it was dedicated. Hey, you have these quiet times, go grab a book, go grab whatever. If we were too young to read, go grab something to color, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And you're going to sit quiet, and this is your time to entertain yourself with whatever quiet time you have. And that was also her time to disappear and read a book herself or take a nap or whatever, you know, like
right.
whatever she was doing. But it was a de-stressor for her, and it taught us, you know, that we didn't constantly have to be entertained by something else.
Yeah, very true. So OP responds to that comment. I wonder if I maybe posted in the wrong section, LOL, but yes, I agree. I just needed to fill my bucket sometimes and need to get better at that. And they're at the age where they can entertain themselves for a certain period of time. Lesson learned for me to focus a little more on my happiness as well. The next comment comes from Extra Pages. I play it every night after my 2.5-year-old goes to bed. It's the best relaxing thing, and the more grouchy and worked up some of these players get, the more I enjoy it, because it's the lowest pressure thing for me that they take so seriously. It's hilarious. I've been playing for years, but it didn't turn into my nightly ritual until after I had my kiddo. Recently hit Grandmaster level until a series of losses from a week of toddler sickness and overwhelming activities. It's interesting how it shows in my game results. Love that there are other moms who are playing along with me, sending sanity and strength and lots of ore. Well, we've covered some board game examples, but something else that you and I do is tabletop RPGs, like D&D.
We do. Every so often.
We've been players together. We've both DM'd for the other. Yeah, we've both DM'd for the other. And so we have, you know, quite a bit of experience that way, and I think that's a really fun thing that we do together. I'll tell my second story if you want.
Yeah.
So we had just wrapped up our first campaign, our first entry campaign, where we were both players, and it ended up being a rather large table that I think both of us enjoyed, but as serious as we are about role-playing, it was a little bit of a detractor just because, you know, you had to make time for different people and we ended up with characters with like wildly different life tracks and like interests. And so when that concluded, we were like, okay, let's try something a little bit tighter. Let's try something with a lower player count. But then we ended up talking about like, okay, maybe we do something one-on-one, and it didn't end up going very far because we got busy and then you opened it up to more people. But I remember coming to you and being like, I want to do a story about, like, you know how in movies the like henchman gets betrayed at the end, like the diehard loyal henchman. There's always something where the villain is like extremely villainized because they turn on even their most like loyal fan at the end. And I was like, I want to do a story that follows this henchman like after that moment. And we talked back and forth and I said like, oh, I kind of want to be someone who's like a fox or was a fox and this different stuff. And you were like, okay. And when I first met you, you wore theater t-shirts from high school, like almost every day. You had your Cinderella cast t-shirt from your high school play and you wore it all the time. So I knew you were a theater kid. You would like sing in studio and all this, but I'd never gotten to experience it. And so we talked about this plot that I kind of wanted to do. And you're like, okay, give me 30 minutes. Maybe it was a little bit longer, but you're like, okay. And I came back and we sat down and you just went like you just went with it. Like, okay, you're a fox and you wake up in a forest and there was just all of a sudden building this backstory because we ended up playing it like playing through a flashback that was going to jump ahead to the moment that I said I wanted to play through. And like started as like this level zero baby fox and went through this adventure. And it was meeting this person that was going to turn out to be my warlock patron and this like person that my character loved, but also this villain that would ultimately betray her. But we were in this moment of like their first meeting and it was so cool and you did it so fast and so fun, and it was a side of you that I'd never like gotten to experience, and I just fell in love with you all over again like in that moment. Like, oh, this is cool. Like I was texting my mom and my sister afterwards and I was like, this is the coolest thing. and he's so smart. You know, just all of this wonderful things. And yeah.
Yeah. And then we rolled it into a one shot that you DM'd. And then we rolled that same concept into a longer...
A mid-sized campaign.
Yeah. We were hoping that other one, that last one would go longer, but...
Doesn't always work out.
Things happen, you know? The players are, players are people. They have lives.
But I love that moment. Mm. Like that one, just level zero. I had a die, but it was not really helpful yeah. in any kind of way because I was out of my league. But we were storytelling and we were doing a, I don't know, it was just a really
yeah.
cool,
yeah.
really cool moment.
Mm-hmm. What we basically did was we took your ideas and things like that. And we role played a backstory in session zero, basically.
Yeah, that's what it was.
And yeah, I recommend doing that because you're less rule bound, things like that, because you're role playing a backstory. Mm-hmm. You know, you're not necessarily role playing through the story so much and stuff like that. But there's always a little bit of element of chance and some other things. And it makes for a really good collaboration of a character, I think. So recommend that to the DMs if they have the time.
Yeah, I fully recommend that too. And I tried to take that idea into one of my campaigns where I was going to let each player have like their own individual session zero. Mm-hmm. And then only one player was able to do it. So that didn't work quite as well because then it ended up in a little bit of an unbalanced start. But that was so cool. That was one of the coolest RPG moments for me to this day, even though yeah. I've had some great... Yeah. moment since then.
I also recommend if you guys, if you're a couple and you enjoy RPG, want to get into RPG, whatever, you know, like role playing just together is a good way to learn the rules to do whatever, you know, and because it's low stakes, right? It's just you and your partner.
Mm-hmm.
And so I used that because I had played other tabletop RPG systems, but I had not played much D&D. And so I used that experience of just you and I playing to really hone in and understand the rules really well. So.
Yeah, for sure. And I see a lot of posts on r/D&D, r/RPGs of people wanting to get into it. I mostly see people wanting to get into it as an individual, mm-hmm. but I do see couples talk about it. And now there's all kinds of RPGs out there that don't have to have a DM.
Mm-hmm.
Like there's RPGs that run off of like card decks or even tarot cards.
Yeah.
Or different things that'll like sort of help you tell the story without one of you having to play a certain role.
Mm-hmm.
And I think for me, there's no loss in a smaller group. Like you don't have to mm-hmm. have the Dimension 26 person party mm-hmm. to experience what's great about these games. And if you play something like that with your partner, one, they're more available than trying to get together a big group. And two, you can have those kind of in-depth experiences.
Yeah.
Well, since we're on D&D, we'll hop over to my next story.
Okay.
You're going to really resonate with the top comment on this. I can already tell you. r/D&D from Turtle Ertle 808.
Love that guy.
My best friend's character is falling in love with mine while I'm falling in love with my best friend. I play a paladin who is on a quest to find his loved one. My friend plays a bard trying to escape their past. Both of these are self-inserts. We are exactly like them, have similar stories, play as we would in real life. Around December, I realized I'm definitely falling in love with him. Then a few sessions later, he shyly tells me his bard is falling in love with my paladin, who are both self-inserts. What the heck? He's been my best friend for years. This campaign is almost a year old. I don't know what to say. You want to guess what the top comment is?
Are you single? No, I'm kidding.
No, okay. No, you've lost your chance. You blew it. Okay, take a guess.
No, go on. What's up?
Top comment from Buzzwords. You should probably make out about it.
Yeah, that tracks.
Or don't. We're hanging out in a subreddit dedicated to D&D. We're like third generation, shouldn't be asked for dating advice. And then someone responds to that and says, roll to see what you should do.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I mean, I've said this multiple times, but one of the things that I love about RPGs is that you get to explore like real human interaction, emotions, things like that on a very controlled basis, you know, and that often turns into something, you know, that often turns into real emotions at the player table as well. I've left sessions where people were hype and mad at each other. I've left sessions where people were very sorrowful, you know, like it's a great game because of that. And absolutely, you know, my advice to anybody who's wondering, do they like me, do they not, is to shoot your shot, because it's better to know, my opinion. But
this is a good comment. Another little love story. I was DMing a campaign, and one of the regular players dropped out. One of the players had a sister who was interested in one or two guest appearances. Once she joined the table, we found out her and another player had once been set up on a blind date, but nothing came of it. Their characters fell in love, and her, maybe two sessions, became the whole campaign. They're now married. Sisyphus Rock 7 replies to that. This Saturday night, the Hallmark Channel and Wizards of the Coast bring you Love and Dragons, a D&D story.
Yeah. Couples who game together, stay together.
There you go. We've done a good job of covering different relationships, different types of love.
Well, many sweet stories.
Yeah. How's that not what I said?
I wasn't correcting you.
Okay.
Not right after our anniversary.
No. So, I think we can return to a general idea. This comes from r/boardgames. From Vendel J. What was your first, wow, this is why I love board games moment? Although hundreds of Catan and Seven Wonders games were my real gateway into the board gaming universe and friendships, the first true moment where I was like, wow, was either playing my first game of Everdell or Avalon. Just that feeling of, this is such a great game. More recently, Blood on the Clock Tower stands out for the wow aspects. Do you have a wow, this is why I love games moment?
The way that they're talking about it, I'm hard pressed to think of a good one just yet. But I mean, there are many times where in the moment I'm like, oh, this is a really well made game. You know, that's a good game mechanic, things like that. But the biggest reason I play games is for the camaraderie around people and stuff like that. And so honestly, as much hate I give Catan on occasion, one of my fondest memories of getting into the board gaming world is playing Catan. It was a family that like introduced it to us midgets, and we played at their kitchen table when we were staying with them one time, and it was a great time because it was like their huge family and our huge family. We got a giant game going, and it was a lot of fun. And that's what sticks in my mind as far as like, wow, this is why I like gaming, because it's about It's about the camaraderie first and foremost for me.
Yeah, no, that's great. Yeah, I definitely feel that when it comes to party games, because that was, I guess, more what I played in bigger groups growing up. And then I remember my family has this version of a party game that's kind of like apples to apples, or one of the things where you like write in an answer. And it's called Mr. Who Says What. And my sister actually adapted that game for my bachelorette party, bridal shower. It was kind of somewhere in the middle. But my sister adapted that game and had these things where all the women who had come to my bachelorette party to support me were able to write in their own answers. And that was hilarious. Mm-hmm. And that was a great time. And it was, I guess, you know, it wasn't a game rules as written, but it was using something from the hobby to facilitate those kinds of moments, those camaraderie moments. Comments. Mathematician number 9901 says, we were playing Thunder Road Vendetta and my friend shoots me. It caused a chain of probably 5 to 6 collisions, which circled back around to my friend's car that shot me and caused it to go off the board. Pure chaos. This one's a game that I know your cousin Samuel likes, but this comes from League of Lucas. Smash Up. I always loved the idea of collectible cards, but it always comes down to the same thing, power creep. With Smash Up, you can build a collection of cool factions and let your friends come over and pick through them and make their own unique little combo. One of my friends is obsessed with madness decks and trolling the table with madness. He often loses, but doesn't care because he's living his best life. I just love the crossover in board games between collecting for selfish reasons and collecting for the reason to share experiences with others. Drailmar says, the biggest memory I remember from my early board gaming days, circa 2003, has to be when I managed to get invited to Alan R. Moon's Gathering of Friends private convention. I basically knew no one, but spending a few days in Columbus, not only with a bunch of passionate gamers, but also famous game designers, really nailed down my conviction I had found my new hobby to obsess over. It's been over 2 decades now, and not slowing down. Puppy Gristle says, the first time I ever walked through a real game store and bought a hobby game by myself, getting it home and opening up the box, punching the pieces, and just marveling at all the components, that's when I knew. Before then, I just got together with friends after D&D and played some board games brought by our DM because we didn't want to just not do anything as a group once our campaign ended.
RPG to gaming.
Well, that's actually, yeah, the RPG to gaming pipeline. That's what they call it.
That's right.
Wayland says, a game of Scythe. It was the first complex board game I ever played. The moment I learned that there are board games other than Monopoly and childish roll dice move pieces games. Like, I discovered that there are actual board games an adult can enjoy.
Are you saying adults can't enjoy Mousetrap?
You might be.
That's a roll dice move piece with,
that's true.
With more rules.
Candyland. Roll dice move piece. I only saw Tokyo Drift. Says, I've enjoyed Monopoly since I was a kid and still do. However, one of the first hobby games I played and really clicked with was Eldritch Horror, because that was the first time a board game really gave me a sense of theme and adventure. I grew up more with video games than board games, and in single player video games, winning doesn't matter at all. When you win Zelda or Mario, it just means the game is over. As such, I have a lot of appreciation for board games that can give me an immersive experience regardless of whether I win or lose. When I'm building a zoo in Ark Nova, or being a space outlaw in Star Wars Outer Rim, scoring points is more of a vague direction to give me structure, rather than something I really care about, but I'm still enjoying myself the whole time. That's not to say I don't also enjoy, say, Love Letter, which is a quick game of scoring where the theme doesn't matter at all, or Codenames, which gets some loud laughs as friends try to justify their choices, but it's these theme-heavy games that really make me appreciate the experience you can create with cards, tokens, and a board.
Yeah, it's true. It sounds like that commenter is living their best life and can find joy in games outside of winning.
Yeah.
Think about my uncle. My uncle plays Dominion a lot, and he plays in order to try to mess up other players.
Oh, yes. Wait, I have heard this.
That is what he finds fun. He doesn't care if he loses. He doesn't care if he likes to put curses on people, steal people's gold, whatever, you know, like, yeah. That's what he likes to do. And it's to such an extent that there's been times that we've played games that were quote unquote nice in Dominion, and he's won and he's been like, oh, that was no fun. I didn't
have any
fun.
Goes home upset. Right. Yeah. Oh, good.
You know, play your game. Do it.
I think in terms of falling in love with theme, I have my own little love story with Flamecraft, which if you're on the Discord or you're on my Instagram for the podcast, you're going to notice I have a bit of an obsession. But that game is so beautiful, and it marries my love of lovely art, cute things, the idea of getting to make things, and puns based around fantasy and role-playing games, and just regular puns based on like Gnome Depot and Draco Bell.
Draco.
Yeah, you were wrong about that. It's very clearly Draco Bell. That is the joke. But I'll spend an hour doing that because I want to find out what all the different enchantments are and like learn all their different names. And I want to learn all the different stores. Like, I found out that one of their promo cards was called Stuff the Magic Dragon.
Great.
Which it's a play on Build-A-Bear, which is fantastic. And it's a dragon pun. And I was like, I have to have this promo card. Because it's hilarious and it's so cute. And I have it now. The end. So, you know, I think finding those things you love, like your soul games are precious.
I'm sure we will talk about Flamecraft other times as well.
Spoiler alert.
But yeah, absolutely. You know, like finding games that are well made. Rules aside, just well made games, good art are really nice. I mean, we play Planted on occasion.
Another one I love.
And the fun thing about Planted is that it doesn't matter win or lose. You're almost in competition with yourself to an extent to make your best garden.
Yeah.
Yes, there are victory conditions, and yes, you can have a better garden than other people, but at the end of the day, you get to look at what you've done and been like, look at all this. Look at this cool garden.
No, that's very true. I love that game because our house is full of houseplants and I take care of them. And there's something to be said for the accuracy of that game and that care. And there's also no mechanic where your plants die. So it's fantastic because you end with a beautiful garden either way. And I'll shout out your sister, Anna, again. We introduced that game to her for the first time with your brother and his wife as well. And at the end of it, she was like, okay, everyone go around and like explain your garden. And I had ended up with, I think, like all floor plants because I'd ended up with a decoration that gives you victory points for floor plants. So I was like, I buy my plants by the pound and I only have these massive plants. And that was very fun to like think of a way that you're explaining that. And I love that game. No one wants to allow my house rule though, which is that if you own a plant that shows up in the game, you get a bonus point.
Oh yeah, because I would never get any bonus points. You own all the plants, not me.
You just have to play it in a table that doesn't include me, so you can claim all my plants.
There's still a problem with that. I would have to remember what plants you have.
Oh dear. Well,
and the names of all of them.
Well, then you're out of there. Can't help you. No, that's true. I think that, and again, back to Anna, at the convention a couple weekends ago, she had a game, and I'm going to forget the name of it, but she's a big forager.
Mm-hmm.
She loves to go out and do that, and she introduced me to this game that was about foraging, but then not just foraging, because you're cooking recipes from what you forage, and you're cooking them for like different guests that you can draft. And I could tell she loved it, and she loved it because it was accurate. Like, she was pointing at different recipes and being like, this is actually a really good recipe, and it's realistic. This is, you know, lion's mane pasta or something, which is a mushroom. And she was pointing it out. She was like, that's why I loved it. And then she's putting her stuff back in the box, and the expansions for that game that she had came in bags that looked like seed packets.
Oh, that's fun.
Oh yeah. So I was like, okay, I'm not a forager, but I already appreciate this just by that
good
like
design.
Little clever, yeah, clever industrial design choice there.
Cool.
Yeah. It's great when you find something you love, be it a person or a game.
Yeah.
The top comment, are you single?
No. In fact, I just had an anniversary.
Good answer. Well, those were our stories on today's table topic. Maybe you agree, maybe you disagree. Tell us about it. Maybe you have a story of your own you want to share. We'd love to bring it to the table. Check out our links in the show notes. Good luck on your next game, and we'll catch you again here on Table Topics.